It's not for all the every musician, I would say, just playing cover songs every night. Because that's what you're going to be doing if you're a resort musician. You're going to be playing the same songs every fucking night. But it's different if you're, like, say, for example, I am a handpan musician. And, like, I can do whatever I want because there's, like, they don't really know if I can perform, like, these songs on...
La Isla Bonita on the handpan.
Yeah, La Isla Bonita on the handpan. Yeah, they don't know I could do that. But since they don't know, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. Just playing all the songs drives you nuts after a while.
Long take.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
We are on the Tulustu Island in the Maldives with Ray and Hanan.
Good morning.
Yeah, maybe we start with Ray. Could you introduce yourself? These were the cats.
Oops.
Could you introduce yourself quickly?
All right. My name is Rai, and I've been actually playing music since I can actually remember. Say, around 3 years, I started playing music with my grandpa. He taught me how to play the traditional drums back then. So I was able to actually keep up the beat and a tempo part at the age of 3, according to them. But and then I gravitated more towards the guitars and drums and all that stuff because of my uncle-in-law. He's one of the best musicians that was around in Maldives from the band Zero Degree at All. He still is one of my biggest inspirations till today. And, like, everything that he has taught me, I have, like, kept it to heart, like, stayed true to what he has taught me. And actually, he's the guy who got me into drumming and all the stuff. He taught me at the age of 6 how to get the, like, 4/4 normal beat down and all that stuff. So I think, yeah, he really encouraged me to move into all this stuff. But as we grew older, it got a bit more difficult to go, like, pursue a career in music. Like, since how things are in Maldives, like, back then, when we grew up, like, going to resorts and all this stuff was not that very... like, welcomed in the community. Even, say, in the early 2000s, like, musicians, like, they were just musicians. You're a musician, you're not doing a job or anything, you just play music. That's what the community, the whole population of most of the population of Maldives were thinking. Mm-hmm. But musicians in general was frowned upon, I would say. If you're a musician, you are frowned upon kind of thing by the community. So our parents also didn't allow us to go and pursue careers in music.
Even your father, that was a percussionist and drummer.
My granddad was, but my dad, he actually allowed me to play. Like, they actually did support me, but... They didn't want me to go to the resorts at first. But I snuck out. I went to resorts also.
So they want you to play
no,
at home?
No,
or yeah, is there another? Were there other places to perform, or it was more playing at home that he wanted?
Mostly for us, there was in early 2000s. There was a lot of gigs that were happening. Loads of youngsters were organizing shows, gigs, and everything everywhere. So there was a lot of opportunity for us to actually play in Mali, but that was it. Like not to like you weren't encouraged or you didn't get opportunities to develop your career as a musician here. So like they like blocked our ways to become good musicians or like to pursue careers in music, become big, like go international or whatever. A lot of things were kind of blocked.
We have on the right side, we have Hanan, an upcoming journalist and sociologist. And you heard a little bit what Ray was saying about being a musician in Maldives or in Mali. How do you see that? Do you see it completely the same way? Or
I think it's true. I think it's not just being a musician, like anything related to the study of arts and humanities and culture. By the time we were growing up, I think the stereotype of being a doctor, engineer, that very South Asian thing that happens, your parents want you to do so well, but they don't want you to pursue what you want because they already have this idea of well in their heads. I really wanted to study arts in school, but my dad sat next to me at a meeting and he said, if you study that, maybe there won't be enough students in your class. Maybe you won't have enough teachers. Why don't you do a little bit of science and a little bit of economics so you can wiggle later? But I wanted to study the arts. I wanted to learn about geography and history and literature. And I was very little when I made that decision. And I know that was a time that I compromised and changed my mind based on the terrain that was already present. I'm sure there are lots of students who've struggled, who've picked up the field of study, who have gone into making music, who've found that they don't have enough avenues to progress or pursue further studies abroad or just showcase and share their talents among each other as well. Academically, I feel like there was a shortcoming in terms of how well it was accepted and how well it was encouraged. And then every student will have like a story of that one teacher in that one school who really got them into music. And there are special people. Yeah.
Yeah, such a teacher is already important to have in a country like Switzerland or in Europe. And I guess in the Maldives, where you're not surrounded by people who do arts or not as much, it might be more important even. So who was that teacher?
So this guy was my physics teacher. He was the physics HOD, head of department. And so this guy was actually a musician. He's a musician. He's currently a musician. He's not a teacher anymore. He's only a musician now. So for him also, it was like this. He had to pursue a career that he didn't want to. Just because of, I think that was the case with him. So this guy would come to our class and actually ask us if we wanted to study or if we wanted to talk about music or anything else. So turns out that in my class there was like 50% was interested in music and playing music and all that. So we gravitated towards like conversations with about music and how we can develop our skills in music and all that stuff. So he would come and talk to us about bands and like we'd go home and listen to all these bands and all these stuff. And like we kind of got more into music because of this guy also. So yeah, I would actually kind of thank him for like not like being this regular teacher who comes and just teaches and then goes. actually had a conversation with us.
Are you still in contact with him?
Yeah, by profession, yes. By profession, yes. I would, like, we still meet up at gigs and whatnot, like, because he's a busy musician. He's working six days a week. So he goes to the resort 6 days a week, and then the rest is, like, he spends time with his family and stuff, so...
What are the good sides and maybe the difficult sides of working in a resort?
Well, you'd be playing mostly what you'd hear on the radio, like the top 100 charts in Europe and all these places. You'd be hearing all these songs. It's not for all the every musician, I would say. Just playing cover songs every night. Like, anybody who wants to actually explore their creativity and, like, show their work to the public, it's not going to be possible if you're just a resort musician. Because that's what you're going to be doing if you're a resort musician. You're going to be playing the same songs every fucking night. But it's different if you're, like, say, for example, I am a handpan musician. And... like, I can do whatever I want because there's, like, they don't really know if I can perform, like, these songs.
La Isla Bonita on the
handpan. Yeah, La Isla Bonita on the handpan. Like, say, for example. And, yeah, they don't know I could do that. I could get a handpan and then just get all the notes and do it. But since they don't know, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. And so that is for me. I would say it's not for everyone. Resort music is not for everyone. Like, not for the, like, if you want to explore your creativity and all that, it's not for you.
And it's long hours, huh? I guess
pretty long hours, because you would have to fly in early in the morning usually. And then your gig is at night, in the evening, say around 7 in the evening. And then you're done 3 hours, you're going to do a 3-hour set, and then you're going to be done.
What does it make to a musician if he or she plays day and night for people eating, lying on the beach, on the towels. Maybe listen to other music while you are playing as well on the radios. I don't know. What does it make to you guys, like, after some years of experience?
Well, for me personally, I would say having to play all these songs, like, with a band, I would still have to go and play the same songs as I'm a drummer also. I would have to play all these same songs every single night if I go with the band. For me, it's not worth it. I would not say it's worth it if you are a true musician. But if you're just doing it for the money, yes, definitely, because it pays you a lot of money here.
But what does it do psychologically a bit if you're playing to an audience half listening, maybe?
That's what I was saying. Like, if I had to do, like, in a band situation, if I had to play week in, week out, I would go crazy. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it for a long time, because even now, I'm able to do this because I am able to play whatever I want as a handpan musician. But I go as a session drummer for bands, which is why I don't do a regular gig. I would go crazy if I do a regular gig with a band. because these are songs that you would hear everywhere and nobody's actually paying much attention to you while you're playing, or don't get much of, like, that. Yeah, you definitely at the bar after a few drinks you'll get the crowd to respond to you and all that, but if, say, at a sundown gig, or you're just playing by the pool in the afternoon, you're not gonna get much attention, and then you're just gonna sit there, play all these songs, and just playing all the songs drives you nuts after a while.
Yeah, that's a nice quote.
I mean, yeah, playing it on repeat every day, the same song every day, not being able, I mean, not
which one is the song you hate the most?
I don't enjoy any of the, like, late pop songs, you know, all these, like, yeah, they don't make sense to me. I mean, like, yeah, it's a repeated beat all the time, and you're singing about lollipops and sugar candy and whatnot. Yeah.
So Hanan, we were that it's important to have someone that encourages one. And you said in the beginning it was a bit of a struggle. Did you have then some people who said let's go for it, or you just decided on your own, I just go for it?
I think by the time I realized I was already on my way to something like this, I used to read a lot of books. Just a lot of books read while in my school, grade school years. Looking back on it now, I realize that the sheer volume of it, I had a lot of free time on my hands. I went to school and I went to band to play some instruments, and I enjoyed reading a lot. And it became the skill that I had that gave me an edge over others, and it's kind of what I've been exploring in my career as well. And on the topic of music, I think the difference is between a performer and an artist. There are people who who perform for an ambience, and then there are artists who pursue this calling and who try to experiment and see what the fringe is like. So others know that there are elements for them to explore and incorporate into their music as well. And it always comes down to around the same kind of sounds and tones that we're all familiar with. So I think the part of the exploration is also separate from what others are enjoying as this performance love that they have.
What is it that attracts you towards music? It's a difficult question to... It's a difficult question, maybe, probably, to answer. It's easier to ask,
I think,
you know?
I would say it's just in our DNA. Because I don't know, it's the rhythm is in us somehow.
You mean in your family or in
people
in the region?
In people of the Maldives in general, because I think we from a very young early age we were exposed to all these traditional drumming and all these nature, the waves and all these rhythms of the nature, and drumming was a huge part of our culture, to celebrate something, to give out a notice to ward off evil spirits back in the early days, and all this stuff, like, drumming was a huge part of our culture. So I think it's in our DNA to be connected to the rhythm, and I think it's really easy for anybody to actually connect to it in that way.
Fira said that that he felt, as I said before, that there was a generation like some years ago that stopped being in the arts or started hiding or doing another job or leaving the islands. But he said also that he feels it's a new generation coming up that wants to be into art and music and that wants change. Do you agree with that? Do you see these people?
I would say there is a lot of people who a lot of youngsters who are coming up who want to actually explore the world of art. But these people are also facing the same issues that as we did. But it is hope that there are more people coming up as well. Even if the older generations have gone into hiding or kept their instruments aside and all that. And with the newer generations, I think they're not focusing solely on releasing their work here, like locally. They're concentrating more on releasing their work internationally, on international platforms.
Do you feel, does it bring to you a sentiment which would say, oh, they gave up on the Maldives? Or do you completely understand it because maybe also the Maldives is a small market and you have to be international? Or is there something you find disappointing in that?
Well, there's a bit of both, I would say. I mean, I am a bit disappointed as to where the current status of the Maldivian Art Society is. I mean, there's so many talented people out here, and you could, like, pick out these people from your one hand. I mean, like, you can count them from one hand to how many people have gone international and, like, the world has known. Like, there's not much people. Like, and they haven't, I wouldn't say they have put that much of an effort. If they did, they would have gotten a bit further than this.
Who are some of the people who made it internationally, in your opinion?
Well, that is the thing. You can't even name these people. I mean, like, as artists, I would say my uncle Nashid, he's one of the guys who made it on the, like, international thing. He had got awards internationally also for his releases. So that's one person that I can actually name. But people like Fira, people like Manal, these guys have been going out, exploring their work and letting the world know that they're out there. They've been releasing stuff, they've been playing international festivals and all these things. Like, some of these guys have made it, actually.
So what are the sounds that you remember growing up in? I mean, you grew up in Malé, I guess. So how did you grow up in Malé? How does Malé sound in the morning?
Oh, man. When I grew up, there was not much... there wasn't much of a crowd back in the day, like in the 90s. I remember roads not being paved. Like, roads like that, sandy roads like this. In Malé, And like kids these days wouldn't even imagine like sand being on a road in Mali. It was completely different growing up in Mali back then. I had a lot of trees in my place as well. There was a huge coconut palm. I would climb all these trees and on the roof, and it wasn't like Mali now. There wasn't all these tall buildings back then. You would be safe playing outside the on the road with your friends in the neighborhood. Like there wasn't much vehicles going. You could move to a side and then the vehicle could pass and then it could go on. And like, yeah, it was a completely different Mali back then. But it did change drastically while I was growing up. It did change drastically.
And you decided to move out. Why was that? Or when did the decision grow and why?
I was always not too fond of the crowded city. So thing is, like, I never liked being in the city. It was too crowded, too noisy for me to even, like, sit down and think for myself. So it wasn't a place for me. So I always decided I'd move to an island as soon as I could. So even with work, I chose a field, actually. I also fell into that trap of being how would you say, pushed into a career that I didn't really want to. So I went to Sri Lanka first to study graphic designing. I did a degree on graphic designing, came back and saw that people were suffering. All these designers were suffering in Mali. They weren't getting enough work. They weren't able to explore their creativity or anything. So I decided I was going to do something else. So I was always interested in the water. So I became a scuba diver. I became a scuba diving instructor. So I worked in a couple of resorts as a scuba diving instructor, and I worked on liverboards as well for a while. So I was never in Mali. So in between I was playing resort gigs and whatnot, and exploring music and all these things as well, because diving gave me a lot of time. So you'd be diving the day, the whole night is there, the whole evening is there, so you could do whatever. So, and also it's during a certain season that you'll be diving if you're on the liverboard, so the rest of the days you're just in being able to play and all that. So yeah.
And how do you feel about that decision today? How long are you here now on the island?
7 weeks. I moved here in February. Now it's eight months or so.
And is it good?
Oh man, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't go back to Mali any day. I mean, I will not. It's only if we have to, really, really have to, that we go to Mali. Otherwise, we just ask somebody to put anything that we need from Mali on the ferry. So there's ferries, like regular ferries that are coming every day. So it's not that difficult to get things from Mali. So it's pretty, pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's way better than living in Mali, in that noisy city.
And for your job, it's still possible to go from here to all these islands?
Yeah, so there's regular ferries that go to the airport and to Mali, like 4 times a day. So if I have to go early in the morning, I would go the day before and stay in Mali and then go to the airport and go to the resort. Or if it's an afternoon transfer, then I would just go straight to the airport to the in the on the closest ferry, I mean the time, and then from there you just go to the resort and then you're back.
So how does this island sound in the morning when you wake up? What do you hear? Can you explain to listeners?
Oh damn. So you wake up to all these birds, these chirps of all these birds, not the tiny birds that you would hear in the Europe and all these places, but quails, crows, roosters, and then you hear all these, well, if you're by the ocean, then you'll be definitely hearing the waves in the morning. It gets you into another dimension, I would say, early in the morning if you're just by yourself on the beach, just listening to all these things. Close your eyes, it'll send you to another place. So it's once in your lifetime, it's worth it, like, to come and just be on a beach early in the morning where there's nothing and just listen. It's the best feeling to wake up to the waves and the birds and not hear cars honking and traffic and people and everything. Yeah, it's a pretty good feeling.
And you're not alone. There's many people that moved.
A lot like me, yeah. They didn't want all the hustle and bustle of the city, so they moved. They decided to move. And this actually kind of became a thing. And all over Maldives, you can find people that have moved from Mali. There's a lot of people that have moved from Mali to a lot of other islands.
What do you hope the Maldives when you are 42? In which kind of world do you want to live?
Oh man. Well, the hope is always for us to be able to freely express ourselves as artists here, but the way things are going, well, I just hope it does happen. It happens before I'm too old. all I can say, I guess. Other than that, yeah, I think there's a lot of new people coming out, so there's hope.
Okay, thank you. We could talk forever, but the fish are on the grill.
Oh yeah. The fish on the grill.
Before
the
European visitor wants to make some pictures too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to be quick. So thanks a lot for the conversation.
Yeah. It was our pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speak soon. Bye.
Long Tail.